I've hit the button now.
Hey, welcome back.
Yo, what up?
Are you feeling refreshed and vacayed?
You can't see it, but I'm peeling.
Yes, I can. You're red as fuck. Look at you. Look at you, the fucking lobster. What the hell?
The sunscreen that I got, because I tried to get reef-safe sunscreen, isn't as good as not reef-safe sunscreen.
And I'm sorry, I'm just stupid. What's the difference?
Reef-safe doesn't have like specific ingredients that kill off like the reef. Like, you know, in Australia, the Great Barrier Reef.
All right. Right.
In Hawaii, they have a law that you cannot use sunscreen with those ingredients in it. Don't ask me what they are. They're like ozonate or some shit.
Got it. Okay.
But they have laws so you can only use that kind of sunscreen. So I bought some that was like Hawaii safe type or Hawaii legal, whatever. And although I was in Barbados and they don't have that law, I still want to think about being a conscientious tourist and using stuff that isn't going to kill off the local wildlife. But that means I've got like sunburn and I'm peeling now.
Well, and first of all, good for you for, you know, trying to at least vacation with the environment in mind.
Yeah, because if I kill off my vacation spot, where am I going to go?
Well,
it's a selfish thing, but also, I want to think of the wildlife. Because how many people think of ocean creatures?
Well, no, we do a horrible fucking job of taking care of our oceans. But
yeah,
what sucks is that those ingredients that keep the reefs safer are the ones that are allowing the harmful rays to burn you.
Yeah, burn me in particular because I'm like a transparent white girl. That's how white I am.
I'm just red. No, I see that. Yes, you're a blinking red traffic stoplight. But wow. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yes.
And I posted a show.
I saw. Very good. Good for
I
you.
I know. I was so
exciting.
Proud of me.
I'm proud of you as well. I am so proud of you, too.
Well, what did I review last time? God, I don't even know. Anyway.
I listened to it, and it's left my brain.
I know, right? No wonder we have 33 subscribers.
Yeah, we can't remember what the hell we're doing. We review the same shows every week because we can't remember.
Yes, exactly. It's like fucking Groundhog Day here. Welcome back to The Watch List with Patty and Bill. Or should I say Bill and Patty? You can log on to thewatchlistpod.com and check out all of Patty's show notes. You can make your own list of stuff to watch. You can even contact us by hitting the, you know, contact us button. Please smash that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts, although Apple Podcasts are no longer a thing, or Google Podcasts are no longer a thing.
Correct. You got to go through, like, YouTube Music or some shit now.
Yeah, it's weird. So if you were listening on Google Podcasts, like I was, please find us someplace else and hit that subscribe button.
Spotify. We're on Spotify.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, all the
good Stitcher doesn't
ones.
Exist anymore.
Like I said, Stitcher doesn't exist anymore. Just find us where the fuck Patty tells you to go.
Just go to our website.
Contact us on social media, @PirateAlice, @BillIvoryLarson, @TheWatchlistPod. And if you just happen to listen on any of the aforementioned services from Patricia Lee, then make sure you leave us a 5-star review.
Yes, please.
I missed you.
Aw.
And I was trying to watch some shit so that we could have a decent show when you came back. Now, I have two things.
I have three.
Okay. And then I have major news.
Ooh.
All right. So why don't you kick us off? And welcome back again.
Thank you. Oh, I also have a fun vacation incident story. that I can share later. There was an incident.
There was an incident. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Okay. All right, that there's a tease. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll keep listening.
So the first thing I have is on Netflix. I watched this before we left for vacation. This was a Dwight's choice. It's from 2023, and it's based on the real life of Father Gabriel Amorth. The screenplay is based on his two books, An Exorcist Tells His Story and An Exorcist More Stories. It is called The Pope's Exorcist. And yes, Russell Crowe is in this.
Ah, that's the one I wanted to see recently and then forgot all about it because, you know.
Russell Crowe is Father Gabriel Amorth, and he's the Pope's personal exorcist. He performs an exorcism without permission at the beginning, and he's brought in front of this tribunal, and then he gets angry and walks out because he's the Pope's exorcist. You can't touch him. Well, then the Pope assigns him to visit a boy named Henry in Spain. Henry is from an American family. They were left this old abbey in somebody's will, and they're trying to restore it in order to sell it. And then this freak fire breaks out. All the workers doing the restoration leave. And so now this family is just left alone. And then Henry starts acting really weird after the fire. But nothing is medically wrong with him. They bring in the local priest, Father Esquivel, and he can't help. But that's when Father Amorth shows up to save the day. And that's, this is like an exorcist movie, obviously, because it's the Pope's exorcist.
Obs. Yeah, obs.
It was.
Well, let's call it the exorcist, and he just goes down the store, and it's a documentary
about it. Exactly. it's kind of lame. I was not entirely impressed. I mean, there are maybe a couple of jump scares and, you know, trying to be the exorcist with some of the shit with the kid Henry. If you've got an issue with Russell Crowe because he's kind of a dick, yeah, you're not going to miss anything by staying away from this.
What has he done dickish beside, you know, break up Meg Ryan and Dennis
isn't
Quaid?
Isn't Russell Crowe like a racist fucker?
Ooh, let's Google that. Oh, let's see here.
Russell Crowe scandals.
From Azalea Banks, Russell Crowe is an abusive N-word spewing racist.
Told ya, I thought you knew this.
No.
Oh, yeah, Russell Crowe. People don't like him because he's totally a dick.
Wow,
I was so sure you already knew about him.
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry. I've just ruined your whole week.
Well, it's not that. But again, the reality of the artist versus their art, you know.
Yep.
I mean, there are movies that are already dead to me, like L.A. Confidential, because it has Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah.
And of which Russell Crowe is a star.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at what he does. My disappointment lies in there's yet another asshole now that has ruined certain movies for me. That's all. Yeah. So, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, back to your thing.
Anyway, so that's The Pope's Exorcist. It's on Netflix. You could do better. You could do way better and find, but watch the regular Exorcist. I mean, come on. Psh, it's infinitely better.
I can't believe Russell Crowe. Anyway.
Anyway.
All right. So I'm going to start with probably the biggest thing on my list right now.
Uh-huh. I'm ending with my biggest thing.
Are you? All right.
Yes.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Ah, how was that? Oh, no.
All right. So after seeing Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was the movie that came out a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
In trying to reboot this series, I actually really liked that one. Really, really, really liked one. And almost shed a tear at Harold Ramis coming back as a ghost. And so I was kind of excited to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So shout out to April and shout out to Dante, who went to see this with me.
Is this still in theaters?
And yes, it is. It is okay. Still in theaters. You cannot stream this movie yet. But take my word for it, it is coming soon.
Oh.
Because not only is this movie failing at the box office, it has not gotten very good reviews. It's gotten a smattering of good reviews, and there is good reason for that. Hmm. So basically, let me give you the basic rundown of the plot, all right? So the main kid in this movie is 15-year-old Phoebe, and she is a Spengler, the granddaughter of Egon Spengler, played by Harold Ramis in the original, all right? So she and her family move to the New York City firehouse, where the original Ghostbusters, you know, took up ghostbusting. So after the delivery of an ancient artifact orb unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters, old and new, must unite to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I have beef with this movie. Because at the end of it, I felt almost the same way as I did after my initial viewing of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Oh.
And when I sat in the theater after that, I thought, oh God, I'm stuck with this. And I didn't want to be. I love the original Ghostbusters. As a matter of fucking fact, I was up late last night watching the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, fun.
And that movie was fun. It had a sense, it just knew itself, and it was beautifully done. And this movie has so many characters and so many storylines going on, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, that it really just never picked the movie it wanted to be and tried to cram in like three movies at once. So another beef that I have with this movie is that the first half of it is really slow.
Ugh.
And you're setting up Phoebe, who is 15 years old now, mm-hmm. and causes a fuckload of damage in this movie, actually. So much so that the mayor, now played by the original guy who tried to shut down the Ghostbusters in the original movie, which I thought was fun, said, bench her. So while she's benched, she gets all angsty teeny and goes to a park and meets a ghost. And this ghost couldn't go to the afterlife to be with her family. They all died in a fire. But she has such an amazing rapport with this girl. And kudos to the casting people who cast this girl opposite the girl who plays Phoebe, because they had an amazing chemistry, like even romantic chemistry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But there's a scene in the movie where Phoebe stupidly turns herself into a ghost for 2 minutes so that she can actually be on the same plane as Ghost Girl.
Okay.
And then finds out that Ghost Girl was working with the bad guy all the time.
Oh, come on.
Now,
lame.
The film also did not have the balls to have them kiss.
Lame.
If you're going to do that, there has to be much more of an emotional tug.
Yeah.
Because Phoebe, who is now estranged from her family and her job, could now also be estranged romantically. And that would have made a very cool character arc. But have the balls, people, to make your character kiss this girl.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of her becoming a ghost, so that they could touch each other. Another beef I have is even with the poster itself. I think these last two movies have done a very good job of setting up Ernie Hudson as not only a very valuable member of the Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
but is now truly the force behind ghostbusting, because he is now a multi-billionaire who has funded further research into ghost busting.
Oh.
Yet he's still very dinky on the movie poster.
Oh, he's like, and I'm sure that's all contractual, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he was the guy they hired on the side just because they needed extra hands. But there was a deleted scene in the original one that actually gave him a little bit of background. Like, he's a demolitions expert, so he's got some type of military experience, hence why he... But they made it look like he was a guy off the street looking for a job. They hired him, and poof.
Okay.
But now he's actually the guy running the research into Ghostbusters.
Hmm.
Because the old firehouse ghostbusting system is full. And this new evil guy gets his power and wants to take over the world by using all the other ghosts as his soldiers.
All the busted ghosts.
All the busted ghosts.
Oh.
Which Phoebe, turning into a ghost, lets loose.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Her character causes such damage in this movie, and there is no, there's no comeuppance, there is no accountability for her character. You get one little shot of her saying, yeah, I know, you can bench me. Well, we don't have time for that right now. We got a bigger problem. And she's never addressed as the source of all of this shit that's going on. And the final thing that I have beef with. They, of course, then try to shoehorn in the original Ghostbusters. Like Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson as Ghostbusters, and Annie Potts as their secretary.
Oh, nice. Fun.
Yeah. So it brings the old together, but there's not enough villain. And it would have been cool if these new Ghostbusters... Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, Phoebe, Paul Rudd, Phoebe's mom. They're the new Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cool if this villain kicked their asses.
And they needed the old guys. Yeah.
There needed to be a, shit, we need to regroup scene.
Yeah.
And then come out stronger to make it look bigger.
Pull out but there's not enough villain.
You take all this time to set up what this villain can do, and then you don't see a lot of it. And it just would have been, yes, it would have taken a more dramatic turn. It would have been a far more intriguing movie.
Yeah.
And then after the movie, I did something interesting.
Oh.
There were a few people waiting, because as is with all these movies these days, there's an after credit sequence or whatever.
Yeah.
So I took the time to ask the remaining people in the theater what they thought of it.
Hmm.
The kids liked it. The other adults, including Dante and April, were like, meh.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know what a good Ghostbusters movie is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this ain't that.
Boo. Okay.
So if you're interested in seeing it, wait for... a streaming service to get it. I went to go see it on the cheap day, so I only ended up paying $5 for it.
Nice, okay.
But Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, yeah, I don't think you're going to have much more of a chance soon to even see it in a movie theater.
Okay.
So I was just disappointed.
That's sad.
Not like Russell Crowe racist disappointed, but, you know, I was disappointed.
Okay.
All right.
So my next thing is also on Netflix, and it just dropped this past week. It is Parasite the Grey. There's only 6 episodes. It's between 43 and 61 minutes each. It is both subtitled and dubbed into English. This is based on a Japanese manga that also has an anime series that you can watch on Hulu. There's a group of parasitic creatures that fall from space, and their little capsule breaks open, and there's like a worm thing that crawls into people's ears, humans' ears, and then they eat your brain and take over your body. Then these creatures can shapeshift your head into like bleh, big creatures with like tentacles that will kill people, and then they eat more brains. And there's one woman who is near death when the parasite crawls into her, and to save its life, because once it's in her brain, it, if she dies, it dies. It uses all of its power to heal her, but then it doesn't have enough strength to finish off the job and eat her brain and take over. So now she's like part parasite, part human. So she's coexisting with this parasite. And this parasite starts to learn more about humans and stuff. And so it, in order to not be murdered by anything, it comes out when she's in peril. Her life is in danger. And these other parasites, like, they can sense when other parasites are around. The others who want to take over Earth, but they can't reproduce, so they need to, I don't know. It's a whole lot of stuff going on in 6 episodes, but it's really cool to watch. It's a lot of fun. I really liked it. I have not seen the anime. I have not read the manga, but this is... It's a cool, you know, creatures take over Earth, try to eat up human brains kind of a thing. And it's a lot of fun. I recommend watching Parasite the Grey if you're into that kind of stuff. If that's your ball game, your jam, so to speak. But yeah, I really liked it. It's you can binge it really fast because there's only 6 episodes. I have no idea if it's going to have another season or not. But they did leave it open to where it could, because there's a lot of story there. Parasite the Grey, it's on Netflix. Watch it. It's fun. You'll like it. And then check out the anime if you like anime. It's on Hulu. And I hear a lot of my friends who are into anime have talked about this Parasite, which is why I was drawn to watch it in the first place. This is live action Parasite the Grey.
Got it. Okay. So the next thing I have is a very cool series.
Ooh.
Very cool series called Fallout.
Oh, that's based on the video game.
Yes, it is. It is on Amazon Prime. There are 8 episodes in season 1. And it stars Ella Purnell. And all the time I was watching this, I was like, where do I know her from? Where do I know her from? And she played the daughter I couldn't stand in the movie Army of the Dead, who is the one that actually caused Dave Bautista to go and rescue her in the first fucking place.
Oh.
And I just couldn't stand her character because she was just, she was just so insufferable. But anyway, I loved Fallout. I watched 1 episode and I cannot wait to watch more. It takes place in a post-apocalyptic Los Angeles. And it was weird how they set it up. Like, was it the future or was it 1950? You never know, because it looks very idyllic 1950s at the beginning. And Walter Goggins plays this, like, famous TV movie cowboy who's hired at a birthday party. And while he's at this birthday party with his beautiful mixed-race daughter... And you could tell he's on the outs of his career because he's taking a gig at a birthday party. The nuclear bombs go off. And after the decimation, citizens have to live in underground bunkers to protect themselves. And Ella Purnell and her character and her family live in Bunker 33. And one day, to help actually regrow humanity... they have to open the bunker door to number 32.
Oh.
So because, you know, enough inbreeding, you can't do that.
Yeah, can't do that.
Right. So they open the doors to bunker 32, and wouldn't you know it, they're actually surface dwellers in disguise.
Ah!
They take her father hostage, and now she is trying, she actually leaves to go to the surface to help retrieve her father. After a bloodbath ensues.
Damn.
But Bunker 33 is so idyllic that you would think it was also in the 1950s. And structurally speaking, the opening of the episode and that bloodbath part really resemble each other thematically and visually. Oh, it's so beautifully done. It's like the movie Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser and how he's so innocent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a great
movie. Then he comes up to the real, like, to the now world and realizes, you know, what's going on, but he still says, golly. It's the same way.
Ah.
And then there are two other stories that are going on. There's the soldier who wants to do more.
Uh-huh.
And he's part of the, like, the metal, like, these soldiers are brought up in the world of metal and how metal and steel are going to bring back society.
Okay.
And then there's a third story about these, like, the Old West, kind of. And they're searching for this mythic cowboy who can actually help them. And it turns out to be the same cowboy from the 1950s. How is that possible? We don't know yet. But it is good.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why this show appeals to me far more than Silo, which is a very similar show with Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah, I've watched all that. I will watch Fallout and see if I can tell the difference.
Well,
or like help you figure out.
Well, the difference is this one has humor.
Oh, well, yeah.
This one has like multiple stories going on at the same time from different parts of the world. And I'll tell you what, I just love it.
All right.
I just love it. So I can't wait to dig further into it.
Have all the episodes dropped?
All of the episodes have dropped. See? They are on Amazon Prime as we speak.
And they're like an hour-ish a piece?
They're about an hour-ish a piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, I've heard a lot of talk about that. I want to catch it.
Oh, it's good.
All right. So my last thing, I went to the movies. And I saw Civil War. I saw it in the IMAX.
What kind of American are you? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a frightening scene.
It is a
it's
terrifying. That scene was like, fuck. Yeah, I saw it in the IMAX because the time happened to be the best time for me to go. I didn't choose IMAX for any particular reason.
Okay.
So did you go see it yet?
No,
okay.
I'm trying to hook it up for this week with some friends to go.
Okay.
Because they didn't want, they were like, you know, I suggested a few other things and they're like, well, have you seen Civil War? And I'm like, no, you know, and that movie scares me.
And it should.
When I first saw the previews for this, I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know if I really want to see this because I'm fucking scared of the world as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I'll go see it with friends because then it at least will open a dialogue with people.
Yeah, hopefully it will.
Hopefully. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's okay. So this stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, and Kaylee Spaney. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right. Also, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Nick Offerman is in it, and Jesse Plemons has a small little role in this. And Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, they're both journalists. And this whole movie, the whole war, is from like the classic journalist point of view where they're unbiased because the writer of this, Alex Garland, he's done 28 Days Later, Sunshine, The Beach, Never Let Me Go. Ex Machina was his directorial debut. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Ex Machina?
Sure. Ex Machina, if you want to pronounce it correctly.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Anyway.
No, you're not. No, you're not. We got to get it pronounced right because I'm sure there are one of our 38 listeners is like, oh my God, she can't even pronounce Ex Machina properly. Jesus Christ. Alex Garland. He is very himself. He misses the days of unbiased journalism and he feels that this whole becoming like Fox News Republican talking to the preaching to the audience type of journalism is what's helping this divide in our country. And that's helping, you know, that's the whole premise of his movie, it's the Civil War, is how it's the divide of countries. And not just, he does not get into the political reasoning why the America is in the Civil War within this movie. It is just following these journalists who are documenting what they see. And he did that purposely because this could happen anywhere. It could happen in England. It could happen in Europe. It's already happening in some places of the world right now. So that's why he wanted this to be something that isn't specific to America, just America that hasn't had this happen in like decades. It could happen again. And Kirsten Dunst is a war photographer. She is the jaded pro who's been at it for years. And Wagner Moura plays the act like a journalist. He's not taking the pictures. He's like, he wants to interview the president. And their whole point, their whole journey is from wherever they are when it opens, New York, going to Washington, D.C. to interview the president, who is played by Nick Offerman. And this young, up-and-coming, glassy-eyed, like, this is going to be the best job ever, Kaylee Spani, she wants to be a war photographer. And Kirsten Dunst, the weathered, jaded, is like, this is not, no, you are... You're going to be panicked. You're this is not the job for you. And then Stephen McKinley Henderson, he plays this old journalist who wants to go to the front line to cover it because he just can't stop. He just can't give up his job. He can't give up being a journalist. But he's old and he's using a cane and he can't get around. So he can't run away when things start exploding around him.
As know? They do.
Yeah. So the four of them... And the different levels of being journalists, like the different areas of their career, go off to drop them off at the front lines and then go interview the president. And that's this whole thing of them encountering different people within this war. And you're seeing like the aftermath of some neighborhoods where they're all gathered in the old high school football field with their tents and... It like the action starts the moment the movie opens, and you're following those four through the whole thing. And this is like, I really like this movie. This really hopefully will help people talk more about this and try to, I don't know, it'll really get people talking for sure, because it already is. And the Western Front is the people that are attacking, like they're fighting back, part of the Civil War. It's the Western Front versus like DC and America. And the Western Front is California and Texas. They make up the Western Front.
And whoever thought of that combination, because they are politically opposite, those states, it
that
seems.
That is Alex Garland who thought of that. And he did that purposely to show... They're polar opposites, but they came together against a common foe. Like, what foe is so awful that these polar opposite political views states would come together, unite, to fight against it? That was his whole point.
And I have to admit something. Since there is a very real chance that I could see this movie this week.
Mm-hmm.
I read the synopsis of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how somebody very nicely types out the whole plot of the movie on Wikipedia?
Yes, exactly.
So I know exactly what happens in the movie because I wanted to prepare myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that because I'll tell you what, like I said before, I'm scared as fuck.
There are moments in this where I was like, holy fuck. Like, the gunshot scared the crap out of me. And I was like, shit. Oh, my God, that just happened. And that's the whole, you know, that is what war is. It's like, holy fuck. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. And that was my reaction to several scenes. And you see how the young photographer, like, the first encounter with actual war, she is like, she's frozen in fear. And Kirsten Dunst is like, if this is what you want to do, you're going to have to get past that. Because there's
How
a whole lot
movie?
More. Holy shit. Kirsten Dunst is amazing. And just I would say the lack of makeup, which there probably is makeup to make her look this way, makes her look so weathered and so just, she is like the personification of people who constantly live with this kind of shit. And
because I'm
she
smelling
seems
Academy
really,
Award nomination.
I
for
think
this.
For her, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because she is like, wow. Just the look, just appearance alone, I'm like, damn. And that's what she showed. And the whole point of her character is to show that, I don't know, you're seeing a lot of all of it for, through her eyes. You don't see it any, there's no talk of the, there's very little peppering of the political reasoning behind it, but you don't really get the full, they don't flesh out the whole thing. And I feel you don't need to know how this happened and what all is the machinations behind it all, if that's the right pronunciation of the word now.
Yeah. Because you're going to assign your own, you're going to assign your own political beliefs.
Yeah.
To, like, if you're a Democrat, you're probably going to think that Offerman's president is a Democrat. If you're a Republican, you're going to think he's a Republican. And no matter what, Texas and California are against whatever he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
And that so watching it through their unbiased sides is mm-hmm. perfect because it's showing war and division. And that is the whole point of it.
How did people feel after the movie?
There weren't a whole lot of people in the theater when I went and saw it. There were maybe 5 people in my theater.
What day and time did you see?
I went yesterday at noon. Saturday at noon.
Shit.
Yeah.
That should have been crowded.
To the IMAX one where you got the full on Dolby Atmos sound and everything.
Wow. And I'm sitting here in silence just trying to go back into my old like movie days. But a Saturday should have been packed.
It could be because it was that was the first day of this warming streak where it was kind of chilly.
Oh, yeah, weather always
week.
Does
And I think
it
was
too.
Rainy
yeah, yeah,
here,
yeah.
too. So I think that's what it is. A lot of people getting out and just doing stuff because it's finally sunny and nice. And it's going to be like 80 here today.
Yeah, that could be, too. Well, yeah. I'm very interested to see what the box office is for that movie.
Me, too. I've been reading a bunch of different reviews. And, yeah, a lot of people are upset that you don't get the whole political background. But you don't need it.
No, because if you establish a viewpoint, then you're going to piss off the other viewpoint.
Well, yeah, and then you're going to be picking sides.
Right, exactly.
And the whole point is
this
to
has
not
to be
pick
objective
sides. Yeah.
And see it through the reporter's vision.
Yeah, a proper,
oh, man.
Unbiased
good
reporter.
Good for you for seeing this.
Yeah, and they do, like, because they're taking pictures, there are scenes where shit's happening, and then they do a quick black and white still of what they took a picture of. It helped me like a whole, but it was cool that they did that.
Well, good for you for seeing. I've got to build up some strength, man, and I'm not going to lie about that. I'm glad they don't pick a political stance per se, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that I wanted to read about, you know,
right.
in my Wikipedia-dom, because I just, I tell you, the two scariest days in America since I've been alive, 9/11 and January the 6th.
Yeah.
I never thought in this country that would happen.
Me either.
I never thought in a million years you would have people storming our Capitol. And I cannot believe that certain people of a political party are trying to wash that somehow.
Right?
With patriotism, and they did not cause damage,
what
and this was freedom of speech. And
like, we saw
no,
it all.
We
saw
it all on TV,
happening.
On every single channel.
And then in social media, constantly, all the people who took video of that shit.
Yeah. I just... So that is why I looked at this movie Civil War and like, oh my God, I don't know if I can see this. Mm-hmm. But I think you have changed my mind and definitely put me in the camp of, okay, I will see this. Because I think a movie like this could be very important.
I think so too. I think it is incredibly important to see this. And
I'm glad you were entertained also.
Yeah, yeah. And right. Like some of these movies can be just talky and boring and like snooze fest, but this, it's just action. It is constant like bombardment, literally, of, you know, guns and explosions and stuff, and just constant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So that's
that
Civil,
is
War.
Civil War.
It's in theaters. It opened Friday, I think.
It just opened this past Friday. Mm-hmm. So I am just going to completely switch gears.
Cool.
And go to my shocking, big, huge news.
Ooh, shocking, big, huge news.
The Golden Bachelor is already divorced.
I heard. I was like, shit. Wait, 3 months? 3 months total?
3 months.
Dude.
And Golden Bachelor's Jerry Turner wanted out of his marriage to Teresa Nist, even though she really loved him. And I'm reading this story. He wanted out of his marriage. Oh, my God.
And we don't know why?
It said they weren't on the same page. Uh-huh. They made the decision to end their marriage because neither of them wanted to move away from their families.
Okay.
So it says that families and distance played a part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so, and I don't know why this is big news to me. And I'm like, okay, shocker, they broke up, because most of the couples on The Bachelors break up after a while. They just can't say that they've broken up until all of the shows have aired.
Right.
But I didn't. But why is it big news to me? Because I wanted him to be with someone else, and she didn't pick her.
Maybe so he'll call her up. I don't know.
Yeah, but I just don't understand why people put themselves through that process.
Right. I mean, how can you really find someone for you through a TV show?
Well,
through that whole
he's in his 70s.
Contrived kind of process.
Right. And it's so contrived. And I remember saying at the time, I loved The Golden Bachelor because they actually put older people of many different body types and styles in a far sexier light. And I loved it. And that's mm-hmm. why I was hooked to that. So am I surprised that they broke up? No, because when you're in your 70s, your family is everything.
Yeah.
And you're established in where you are and your life, and you're not going to pick up like you're 25 years old, and because we're not resilient that way anymore. It's
and
like the body.
And you're set in your ways, too. Like, you've yeah. already got, this is who I am, and that's that. I'm not going
right.
to change for you.
So it just lends itself to that age-old question with shows like The Fucking Bachelor. This is an attractive dude. Why can't he find somebody where he lives? I mean, the only reason being, like, most people know him and his now-deceased wife, so it's kind of hard. So, yeah, I get that. But I'm not, but big shocker.
Yeah, big
The Golden
shocker.
Bachelor is already divorced.
All right.
And the other big news,
mm-hmm.
O.J. Simpson died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I read a very disturbing story today. The executor of his will
mm-hmm.
is going to fight to stop the Goldmans from receiving their compensation, which were awarded to them in their civil trial. He said that he views all of it now as creditors, and creditors can just get in line.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So he's being a hard ass about that.
Damn.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many listeners we have who are younger and don't know that whole Bronco chase and the whole story when it came out. That was 94, 30 yeah. years ago.
Yeah, I was watching an episode of The X-Files, and they cut it off for that shit, and I'm like, I'm never going to know how this particular episode ended, because it's The X-Files, and it's not like happy ending, right. like they tie it all up with a bow at the end. It's fucking X-Files. Right. Weird ass shit could happen at the end. And yep. I never got to see the end of that episode.
Well, now you can.
If I could remember what episode that was. Because now I don't remember anything about it. I just know I was watching The X-Files and I was pissed.
Well, all right. Was it a first run episode at that time?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because I was just going to say, you could go back and look at the release dates for whatever season it was.
Yeah,
time it to the OJ thing and then yeah. figure out what episode it was.
Yeah.
And then go and stream it.
Not that important now. I just know at the time it was important and I was angry.
I know. I honestly, you talk about a divisive issue in this country.
Yeah.
And in our 20s, yeah, OJ was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what stance people have, so I will speak for myself only.
Okay.
I think he did it.
I'm certain he did it, personally.
I have no reservations to any part of it. I think he hired the best lawyers in the fucking country to get him off, and they did.
Yep.
And there's a reason why the civil trial went and he lost. But, oh my God, you talk about a court case on TV and the sensationalism around it and the like how it all
yeah.
went to shit because it was televised and the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he did it. I also think he was a shit for saying, I won't ever stop until I find their real murderers. And then you see him off in hotel rooms getting into fights over signed merchandise. Mm-hmm. And No.
Yeah.
So I don't know how other people feel about OJ, but and I have to say this, too, because I'm a decent human being.
Okay.
I do not wish cancer on anyone. Cancer took my mother.
Took my mother.
I do not ever, ever, ever wish that on anybody. That being said, karma got him.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And God, please, I do not want the power for anything else or anybody else in my life, but wow, yeah, I think he did it. So I hope that the Goldmans and the Browns can find some closure from that, whatever that is.
I agree.
Yeah, that was deep shit this week. That and the Golden Bachelor breaking up.
Wow. Okay, so anyway. My vacation incident.
Oh, yeah.
We're at the two-hour mark, and I need my vacation incident.
Let me take a sip of water
all
from
right.
Dwight's cup.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. So in Barbados, the ocean, the waves were huge. Like I had never been anywhere where it was such a heavy surf before. And there was they like have little buoys kind of marking off where it's safe to swim if you want to go into the ocean. And in the center of that strip was just shallow the whole way, but the waves would come and lift you up and that kind of thing. And so I'm just hanging out. I get into the slightly deeper where I can hit the bottom with my toes, so I'm good. And I'm just hanging near some people because Dwight's up in the room because he was itchy and wanted to shower. Also, he doesn't go in the water. So I wanted to stay near okay. people because you don't swim alone, right?
Right, right.
And so I'm hanging out by some people. And the one of those people wanders off, and then he comes back, and then all the rest of his friends leave. And he looks at me like, they just left me. I'm like, man, they abandoned you. And I'm like, yeah, my husband abandoned me too. He's up in the room and I'm here alone. So we just start jibber jabbering talking, and the waves are coming and lifting us up. And then a huge wave comes. It's like over my head and I'm like, oh shit. And so I turn around so I don't get a face full of water, and it knocks me off my feet and pushes me towards the shore. And then another one comes right after it, and now I'm on my butt moving my way up the shore. And now, because I'm sitting on my butt, all the waves are huge and it just kept relentlessly hitting me. And I'm like, I can't get up. And the dude's like, are you okay? And the whole time I'm laughing because it's so ridiculous. But at the same time, I'm just like, I got all this water up my nose. And I'm like holding the thumbs up like, I'm good. I'm good. But I can't get up. I can't stand up.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, this will never end because I can't get up and all the waves are going to be so huge. Finally, the guy comes up and he's like, do you need some help? I'm like, yeah, I think I do. But, you know, my shitty knees and sand and you sink and I'm having trouble. He's like, come on. Here comes the wave. Up with the wave. And like, shoom. Finally, I got up. I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like, all the water is just falling out of my nose. I'm like, and I had my sunglasses on, and they're prescription sunglasses. And I don't want to lose them because they're expensive.
They're prescription, right.
And I grab them. I had like a death grip on my sunglasses the whole time. This water's just like knocking me out. And I'm like, I was decimated by those waves. Oh my God.
So
I've never been
basically
giggly and laughy and terrified at the same time before.
Oh my God.
Because that's what it was. It was like, I'm like, this, why can't I get a break here, man?
So basically your vacation almost killed you.
That one moment, yes. Then I did not go back in the water. I stayed
between
the
water and the sun.
Oh man. Yeah, well that I was out there in the water a little too long. But also the sunscreen wasn't quite up to par. So that was the first of the bad sunburn.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we did a shady day by the pool, just relaxing and not getting my nose full of water.
Yeah, being carried off to God knows where.
Just the shore, because all the waves are going straight up to the shore.
All right, wow.
That wasn't pulling me back. It just kept pushing me forward.
Well, I'm glad you're whew. Okay.
Yeah,
Jesus
I'm fine. That was
Christ.
That was like, whew, whoo-wee. And I knew even if Dwight was there, he would have been unhelpful because he doesn't like to go into the water. So it's like, would he
I'm
even
sorry,
be able to get deep enough in to help me? I don't know.
Oh, no. No, that's when Super Dwight needs to
come out. I sure hope so. But he was up like, in the room because, you know, he was exhausted from relaxing. No, he just needed some AC because he was itchy. I don't know.
And part of why I'm laughing about that ridiculous statement is that it's absolutely true.
It is true.
Like
yes.
When you're out and you're beaching or whatever, like that ocean air just relaxes you, man.
And the sound of the ocean. Yeah. Because those were big, heavy waves, it was so loud and exactly what I needed.
And so, yeah, I get that. Oh, like I'm really tired now. I could use a nap.
Yeah.
So I get that. But that's at that time in the movie where even the non-swimmer geeky dude rips his shirt off and goes, "I'll save you." And then he's wading in, and then he needs saving himself. But at least he's like drowning to save you.
He's been knocked down as well.
Right. Yeah. So
fortunately, the guy that was there to help me, he was firmly planted in the sand to help me get up. Because damn.
Well, I'm glad.
I never would have been able to get up. Oh, and the other comical thing is, Sandals Resorts have photographers going around taking pictures because they want you to buy their packages. There was a guy standing on the beach taking pictures, and the dude that was with me is like, he might have gotten pictures of that. And I'm like, I need pictures of that because that was so ridiculous. He did not take any pictures.
Aww.
I would have paid all the money to buy those pictures had he turned and taken pictures of, here's a guest drowning in the ocean.
Which is probably exactly why he didn't take those pictures. Because
that's bad press. But at the same time, I was laughing. Because it was so crazy, Patty. And ridiculous. I'm like, huh.
You need to go to some place that won't kill you for your next
I've been
vacation.
Places that won't kill me before all this.
Okay.
Yeah, all the other places. The beach was, the water was so calm and still. Well, a little bit of, you know, it wasn't like giant waves where you could boogie board or surf on it, man, you know. Although I don't know if these were big enough for surfing because I don't surf. But they looked huge to me.
Well,
the girl from Flatland, Illinois.
Yes.
With no surf.
Oh, my God. So, people, log on to the Watchlist Pod, click on that Contact Us button, and please give Patty suggestions of where else to vacation so that the water and sun doesn't kill her. Also, if you have seen Civil War, I really want to know what you think of it. And I'm being utterly serious right now. And because I really want to know what people are thinking about this movie and if it will have the desired effect or if we are just so desensitized to what is going on in our country because of everyday news, this will just be a piece of entertainment that supposes something and then will go away.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to learn what people think about that. Log on to thewatchlistpod.com, click on that Contact Us button, or hit us up on social media, @PirateAlice, @BillIvoryLarson, or @TheWatchlistPod. Make sure you smash that subscribe button and give us a 5-star review.
Yes. And you could see my vacation photos on my Instagram.
Sweet.
Because I did post a few.
And it looked beautiful.
Beautiful Caribbean.
Would you have posted pictures of you floundering around
Absolutely.
In the water?
Absolutely. If somebody got photos of that, I totally would have. And I'm like, here is the incident that happened to me.
Oh, my God.
Because it was so goofy. It was just... It was ridiculously
Patty,
it was
I'm
funny
just glad
to me at the
time. Right.
At the time, I could laugh at it, and I still can because that was like, to see that, I wish I was a person watching myself do that.
I'm being pounded by waves, but yeah. Please save my prescription sunglasses.
Yes, save my glasses because I can't read my book while I'm sitting on the beach without them.
Lame.
And I finished one book and then started another.
Okay.
I brought my Kindle that has all the books on it. And I didn't fall asleep. I managed to finish a book without falling asleep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Tuning in, finding us, everything.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Thank you very much for listening. Oh, and by the way, in Civil War, for those people who don't live in this country, who might need a little geographical thing, I live in Philadelphia, which is about 2.5 hours from Washington, D.C., and about 2 hours from New York. So their entire journey on a good day should have taken between 4.5 and 5 hours.
Well, they had to go around because something was happening or the bridges were blown away. I don't know. So they had to go around. I think they had to go around to Pittsburgh. They mentioned their route of going around.
Okay. But just saying on a good day, New York to D.C. is about 5 hours.
Yeah, and this...
On a bad Civil War-y kind of day,
it could take a week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how... I don't know the time span. I don't remember.
Ah, fuck you, Russell Crowe. All right. Everybody, have an awesome week, and we will catch you next time. Okay,
bye.